This is Pat Tomlinson, and I'm talking with Dr. Brian Gardner, Ag Spectrum Technical Director. Brian is working from his home office near Columbus, Ohio. Brian, I appreciate your willingness to spend some time talking with me today. How are things going for you?
Well, thank you. We've had a good start to spring with plenty of warmth and sufficient early rains to get started with planting in this part of the Corn Belt.
Well, as they say, you can't finish unless you get started, so I hope the weather from here on out works for the acres already in the ground. I think in most of the Midwest, we're simply hoping for some good opportunities to present themselves for corn and bean planting to get started over the next few weeks. As you know, our plan today is to talk about the maximum farming system for soybeans. Typically, in our discussions with growers and our presentations to them, we tend to focus more on the maximum farming corn program and the specifics of corn development that the steps to the program support. Sometimes it can seem like the soybeans are a little bit of an afterthought when we spend most of the time talking about improving corn performance, yet we do know that soybean performance can also significantly benefit from the MFS, just like corn. As you talk with associates and growers, do you see any opportunities to help our clients by giving more attention to their soybean acres and management practices?
Absolutely, particularly this year as corn prices are low and there's more opportunities for soybeans. As you mentioned, full system management works well for both crops, but since the crop species are different, the details of implementation will differ somewhat. By focusing on a few key differences with associates, they can lead their clients to more successful outcomes with soybeans regardless of where they're farming.
Well, over the last few years, we've seen a lot of changes in the way many growers manage soybeans. I'm thinking of pushing planting earlier, in a lot of cases, planting beans before corn or maybe simultaneously with corn. We've also seen a trend toward decreasing soybean planting population and increasing the use of seed treatments that are often proprietary mixes of fungicides, insecticides, and biologicals. I know there's a lot there, and probably it shouldn't all be lumped together, but in general, how do these changes fit with the MFS? Should they impact our approach to clients who have made these types of changes?
Well, let me take them one by one. The trend in planting earlier has been a bit of a mixed bag. Putting soybeans in before corn can make it easier to space out the pre-flowering foliar sprays for those managing with the maximum farming system on soybean, but it comes with a higher replant risk depending on when the corn planting window is. As for seeding rate, I think it's clear that lowering seeding rates have helped improve the success of our program when it's fully implemented with both the R1 and R3 foliar applications of PT21 Score and Grozyme. And many of our clients are reporting good success with the full system when planting just 100 to 150,000 soybeans per acre. As for seed treatments, they are most important as an aid for early planting and where soils tend to be heavy and too wet for too long in the spring.
Let's talk about the specifics of the program. Like corn, we begin with the pre-plant treatment of Grozyme and usually blitz unless there's incorporation of the Grozyme. What role does this play in the system, and are there any differences in the role of these products on corn and soybean acres?
They pretty much function the same way. The pre-plant treatment you mentioned promotes soil biology and residue breakdown in advance of planting in cooler soils. This has the net effect of promoting more nutrient mineralization and making a richer seed bed early in the season. This is most important when planting early and neither cover crops nor fall manure are in use. And it's also important where corn residue is higher than optimal. The treatment is least necessary, though, when planting soybeans green into rye cover crops or planting into warmer soils. The goal of the Blitz Grozyme treatment ultimately is to stimulate beneficial microbial activity ahead of planting and to prevent allelopathy and nutrient lockup from terminated cover crops.
When we look at our mindset when we're planting soybeans relative to corn, I think with corn we know what the most important things we're aiming for are. We want an even stand with a very high percentage of the planting population to emerge as uniformly as possible without sidewall compaction that limits root growth. We want phosphorus uptake into the plant to begin as quickly as possible in order to reach the level of seedling P content by V3 that is associated with maximum kernel count and available nitrate N to continue the kernel formation process. How does this compare to the goals that we should be thinking about when planting soybeans? Do the goals for soybeans impact the decision of when to plant soybeans relative to corn acres?
Well, for both crops, you really want to provide the right amount of support to promote vigorous vegetative growth, successful pollination, and maximum grain fill. However, few differences in development are worth taking notice of when making planting decisions. For soybeans, you need to remember two things. First, they're mostly semi-determinant, meaning that they flower for an extended period of time. And second, soybeans get most of their nitrogen that they need for grain fill from root nodules that are formed in the latter half of the growing season. These two features make it more important that growers using the maximum farming system focus first on optimizing air and water balance regardless of soil type, and to apply two foliar applications of PT21, Score, and Grozyme during the season. The first of these is done during R1 and the second during R3. When combined with lower planting rates, these foliar treatments ensure more branches and more retained flowers and fuller pods. So how does that affect planting date choice? Well, the goal is to get the R1 sprayed applied around the summer solstice, and the R3 needs to be applied 3 to 5 weeks later while there's still ample soil moisture and crop growth. The timing of that second spray will vary depending on the typical weather patterns of any specific geography. Sometimes an additional foliar spray is required to help recover from hail or excessive drought stress around R5. So just remember that one needs to apply these foliar treatments when conditions are such that soybeans can actively grow.
So it sounds like the R1 spray is maybe another step in maximizing the benefits of soybean flowering at the time of the summer solstice, which is often cited as the goal of early planting. Is it appropriate to say that's a way to maximize the payoff for the inherent risks of early bean planting?
Well, not exactly. You see, flowering is triggered around the summer solstice regardless of planting date. When one plants early, one can get more vegetative growth before flowering if extended cool temperatures or frost don't hinder growth. With that greater vegetative growth, more flowers can be formed and supported naturally. The R1 spray, in contrast, helps support and retain early flowers and support their full pollination regardless of the amount of vegetative biomass which they are set with. So the PT21 score and Grozyme spray applied at R1 is beneficial independent of planting date. Now, with all of that said about the importance of reproductive foliar treatments, one can't miss the fact that the vegetative growth supports early in the season are essential to ensure that extra root mass and leaf area are produced to support that healthier reproductive growth later in the season.
So regarding what we do to drive that vegetative growth in the roots and plant structure early in the season, there's been a little more emphasis in some areas on the option of replacing the in-furrow application of Grozyme and Kickoff with an early foliar at V3 or so that adds clean start to the mix. In some cases, this is being done on Enlist beans mixed with the herbicide application, or in some cases separately from the herbicide. But what are your thoughts on the early foliar relative to the traditional in-furrow approach?
Both the experimental data and the lived experience from many of our customers is clear on this point. The V3 to V5 foliar spray of Clean Start, Kickoff, and Grozyme is a reliable yield-increasing fertilizer treatment on soybeans when used as part of a complete maximum farming system. That foliar spray can also be safer to implement in sandier, low CC, and low organic matter soils that don't allow for Clean Start to be included in the in-furrow. However, that early vegetative support option will not work for everyone, as it comes with two important caveats. First, the fertilizer spray really needs to be done as a separate pass, ideally 1 week after any post-emergence herbicide pass. Second, it comes with a modestly higher cost, as one applies 2 to 4 more gallons of Clean Start than one can safely do in furrow on soybeans. So if you can't do that foliar spray, the other superior option is to include just 1 gallon of Clean Start with the usual Kickoff and Grozyme in furrow. That costs a lot less than the foliar and works well on soils that have at least a 14 CEC and 2% organic matter. Use of this in furrows also precluded any problematic mixing and unwanted precipitation with herbicides.
Another change we've seen in recent years is a noticeable increase in cover crops ahead of soybeans. And we know there are lots of good reasons for that trend. However, one result of more cover crops ahead of beans that we may not be as enthused about is the increased use of glyphosate to terminate the cover. We know glyphosate has a negative impact on both soil and plant biology. Can you talk about Glycure use on soybean acres and if there are any considerations that are unique to the soybean crop?
Sure. Generally speaking, a spray application of PT21, Glycure, and Grozyme should be used during the vegetative growth stage of any crop to mitigate stresses that glyphosate and its breakdown products cause to the crop and soil. On soybeans specifically, the optimal window of use can sometimes be a bit narrow, and some farmers will be tempted to mix Glycure with the other sprays to reduce the number of passes. Generally, though, this is a bad idea. Just make the application as a separate pass. Why do I say that? because mixing Glycure with glyphosate-containing herbicide will only reduce the weed control efficacy of the herbicide. And similarly, mixing Glycure with the R1 foliar spray of PT21, Score, and Grozyme dilutes that mix's efficacy and or reduces the stress mitigating value of Glycure with this mistimed application.
I think with soybeans, associates and growers have come to regard the most important part of our program as being the foliar treatments of PT21, Score, and Grozyme.
Yep.
How should we be helping clients time these applications and decide on whether to plan for one application or two on their soybean acres?
Because so much of soybean yield potential is determined later in the season, it really is important to provide foliar nutrition twice during the season, at R1 and again at R3 to optimize yield potential, especially when one's using lower seeding rates. The R1 spray helps soybean plants retain and set more early pods, and the R3 spray improves stress tolerance and increases pod fill. Both are important for optimizing yield potential in soybeans. However, as you mentioned, where yield potential is low, say below 60 bushels per acre, farmers are going to be tempted to limit inputs on soybeans. As a rule, the R3 spray will be the most valuable, especially when narrow rows, higher seeding rates, and the V3 to V5 foliar are all used.
You mentioned earlier that we don't want to combine any herbicide with our foliar application. Often growers want to combine fungicide and our insecticide with our R1 or probably more frequently R3 foliars. Assuming they do a jar test and there are no issues with mixing, are there any concerns with combining fungicides or insecticides with the soybean foliars?
No, not at all. If scouting indicates the need for such pesticidal treatments, then we strongly encourage well-timed applications, mostly around R3.
There's also been a growth in double crop soybean acres following wheat in many areas. How does our system fit with double crop bean acres? Are there any changes to the program that we should think about when following wheat?
Yes, and that's an excellent point. In a double crop situation, there is an abbreviated timetable for growth, but the system remains essentially the same. So the Blitz Grozyme pass, that can be skipped because the soil is warm and active already. The use of Clean Start kickoff in Grozyme, especially as a V3, V5 foliar spray, is an excellent choice because it's critical to build vegetative matter to support pod fill later in the season. If glyphosate is used on the wheat as a harvest aid, it will be important to use PT21, Glycure, and Grozyme as a spray around V7, which is near R1 when using the GMO-resistant varieties. Then one can finish off by using one PT21 Score and Grozyme pass as you hit R3 a few weeks later to help maximize crop yield potential in that shorter season.
Well, you've been very generous with your time, Dr. Gardner, and I think we've been able to address and I think clarify some important areas of our soybean maximum farming system, which we want to help our associates and clients understand as completely as possible and, more importantly, implement as profitably as possible on their soybean acres. Thanks again for talking with me, Brian. I hope you have a great day.
Great. Thank you, and have a good weekend.